I started seeking the Lord last month, asking the Lord, said, okay, Lord, what's next month? The reason I've learned to do that is because His Word says, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. And it also says, those that seek will find. So I learned real early to seek the Lord in everything. And of course, we're taught it here, and I thank God for that. But today, I come to you, and it's a blessing to have this time, the last Sunday every month, to do Sunday school for this very reason. Because this is not the first time I've talked about it up here. I'm going to talk about resurrection. Today, we mark on the calendar, as born again folks, we should say Resurrection Day. Now, I don't have anything wrong with calling it Easter, but the whole world does that, and I don't want to be like the world. Because for me, it's about resurrection. And I'm not going to go into the whole history of why it's called Easter. Get on Google. We got some fine technology out there. There's lots of information to tell you that. But just like Halloween, it's not Easter. This is Resurrection Day. This is the day that our country has set aside on our calendar, thank God, according to our forefathers, and our forefathers in the faith and the church set aside to celebrate something that's awesome. And sometimes, well, no, all the time, we should always talk about it and think about it, not only one day a year, but every day, because it's awesome. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, He was not talking about He was about to die, although He was, His earthly body is about to die. He wasn't only talking about the work that He had come to earth to do. He was talking about, included in that work, the power of death and hell and the grave. It's finished. The power of sin to destroy the righteous and to have dominion over them. It's finished. The power of Satan to control your life for all people. It is finished. And the war that started back in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan tricked and deceived mankind and took over rule of the world again that God gave to man to start with, that war is finished. For the born-again believer, that war is done and over with. And it started when Jesus said, it is finished. Now, we all know the Bible says on the third day He rose. So I'm going to use our weekly calendar. I'm not going to go through every detail. On Thursday, Judas betrayed Him. We'll just call it Thursday. And it says whenever Judas come after Him, if you'll read in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all record it. One of them said he and some of the head priest, high priest, and a multitude of others come to take Jesus when Judas did his betrayal kiss. And whenever they ask Him, Jesus asked Him, who are you looking for? I'm going to paraphrase in our language. They said, we're seeking Jesus. He said, I am He. And they all fell out. Hit the ground. And you might say, well, that's because He's the Son of God. Not only because He's the Son of God, but He had that resurrection power inside Him. It had not manifested yet. That power is so full of love for us. It's just awesome. As I started studying this all over again, the Lord gave me other things. Whenever Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it looked like everything was over with. Can you imagine if Jesus were alive today and He was executed and we were following Him and He's been telling us, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. And we was, well, what are you talking about, Jesus? I don't understand. But we keep following Him. And then He gets executed. Everybody that followed Jesus pretty much thought it was over. They killed Him on a cross. They executed Him as a common criminal. As a matter of fact, the cross in the Roman times at that time, execution on the cross was the most humiliating and the worst punishment they could give any human being. Jesus wasn't the only one that was executed on the cross. But He was the only one that was executed on the cross that had resurrection power. And the reason the cross is such a strong symbol to the born-again believer and it affects the world in such a negative way because on that cross, Jesus bore all the sins of the world from Genesis chapter 3 up to that day, up to this day. He bore all the dominion that had been in the world from that day Genesis to that day, to this day. And all the sins that people commit when they're out in the world lost, he died for all of that. And you might say, well, he could. He was the Son of God. When he did that, he was only the Son of God in title. His glory was gone. Yes, he was still the Son of God, but he referred to himself as the Son of Man. Why is that? Because he come for us, man. He come to deliver us. And he did that on the cross. I want everyone to imagine. You've probably heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. If Jesus had not died on the cross, we have to pay the sin debt for our own sins. We would have to pay the sin debt for the dominion of sin in our lives, the curse of this world, because mankind allowed it to come into this world. A regular man cannot do that because we're born into this world. We're of this world. Jesus was not of this world. He was born into this world, into the body, that tabernacle that we live in, just like we are. And he had to bear all of that. And that's just the beginning of his troubles. He knew what it was going to be like, I'm sure, at least some. Because he said, if you read, I forgot which one, gospel it's in, I was reading it the other day, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, three times he asked, Father, if this possible, let this cup be passed from me. As a man, he knew it was going to hurt. It hurt him. He had real pain. He had real emotional pain. He died a real carnal death, as me and you die in this body. He felt everything that we would ever feel if we were to go through that. The difference being, Jesus said, I not only give my life, I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. He knew what was going to happen. He also knew the outcome. He knew he had the resurrection power and what he had to do, but that don't make it any easier. Now, if we just put it in somewhat context, we could understand it. If your child done something wrong at school and the price was a severe beating and you took it for them, you know it's going to hurt. You know you're going to feel something. But I dare say there'd be one parent that loves their children that would not do it. Jesus did the same thing for us, but monumentally greater, millions and millions of times greater. Of course, he bore the sin. He bore the humiliation of the cross, being killed on the cross. He was innocent. He didn't do anything to cause all this. But yet he gladly accepted the will of the Father, because when he went those three times and asked, and God told him from the foundation of the world, this is what's supposed to happen. And he said, not my will, Father, but yours. And he gladly accepted it. If that was the only message Christianity had, it would be the only one needed. But we got a lot more than that. A whole lot more. The day that Jesus died, I could just about guarantee you that Satan, every evil spirit and demon and demonic force there was, had a party. They're thinking, we killed the only mortal man that could conquer us. He's dead. Maybe not, they didn't think they killed him, but he's dead. They thought their worries was over, but oh, glory to God. Their worries just start. Because Jesus knew, God knew. Now, I don't have any proof of it, but I feel firmly in my heart that evil did not understand how much the human body, man, could take. I don't think Satan thought that Jesus could go through it and bear the sins of the world and all the other pain and the things that a human body has to take. That's just my opinion. I have nothing to back that up. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Satan is smart enough to know that if Jesus doesn't die, there's not going to be a resurrection. If there's no resurrection, there's no redemption. If there's no redemption, there's no authority, there's no power, and man is still stuck in the same state he was before. But like I said, that's my opinion. But praise God. I said we started on Thursday. They beat him. They mocked him. They took away his seamless garment. It was not sewn together. It was one piece. And they bet on who was going to get it. They give him a robe of purple and mocked him. Who are you, Hail, King of the Jews? Who slapped you this time? You know, mankind can be very ugly. But Jesus still died for us. I've done some bad things in my life. I'm not proud of any of them at all. But this ain't about me. Whenever I say God come into my life and I was born again right here on this altar, I want everyone to stand. That's not about me. Because I could do nothing. I didn't do anything. And I knew more than anybody that I can think of. I was raised in church. My dad was an evangelist. I knew what to do, what I was supposed to do. But I didn't. You know why? I didn't want to. But I praise God that whatever thing happened in my life that made me turn to the Lord, because most of the time, mankind will wait till it hits the very bottom before he'll turn to God. But I thank God that he was there. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross and been buried in a grave, a borrowed grave at that, he didn't even have his own, then resurrected, raised from the dead, and then ascended to the Father where I can have the Holy Spirit and we can have the Holy Spirit indwelled in us, my life wouldn't be where it's at today. I did choose to turn to Jesus, but most people do not turn to Jesus, turn to God and become born again like the number one goal in their life. And until a person does and they receive what Jesus has to give us, they understand, you know, like I do, I wasted a lot of my life. I could have been living for Jesus. I could have been doing things for the Lord. You know, I could have been doing things to helping other people. I could have led other people to the Lord. But now, I have something. As we sing in the song, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. And this is the day we celebrate that. I will say this. This is not a day about that bunny rabbit and those eggs. And I'm not putting anybody down that does that. That's to each his own. But you won't find it in the Bible. And Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going to dilute the precious thing Jesus did for me with anything in this world, because it'd be of less value than what it is. Because it's awesome, it's mighty, it's love. And he laid down his life for me. I will not dishonor him, not knowingly. And if I know that I've done it, I'll hit my knees in a heartbeat, put my face on the ground and ask forgiveness. The Lord help me never to do that again. Now, about his resurrection, Jesus fulfilled countless scriptures and prophecies about him. I'm not going to ask you to turn to these. I'm just going to read them to you. In Mark 14:28, he says, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. In Luke 18:33, he said, they shall scourge him and put him to death, talking about himself, the Son of Man, and the third day he shall rise again. In John 3:14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then as I said before in John 17:10, 17 and 18, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. There's many, many more. I ain't got time to go through all of them. But if you read the Bible very much at all, you'll run across a lot of them. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Now, there's a scripture that we use a lot, and I use it a lot, 1 Peter 2:24. Most of the time I refer to it asking for, believing, praying for healing. But the whole scripture says, who his own self, talking about Jesus, bear our sins in his own body. That's where I get it, that he took on our sins. The word says so. On the tree, took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. And of course, the last part's by whose stripes you were healed. When Jesus died and then become resurrected, we had the way back to the Father. If anybody can hear my voice this morning, no matter who you are or where you're at, if you don't have a relationship with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you, talk to the Lord. Because without it, everybody is doomed to pay that sin price. And you might say, well, Jesus died for everybody. Yes, he did. But you cannot accept the blessing until you asked and to be included in the acceptance. Why is that? Well, number one, that's what the word says. You have to believe. If you don't accept anything, you will not believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. Satan has, I want you to look at our world. I've lived in this world 62 years. And I look at things that's happened in this world, in this country. And I think, man, I didn't think that would ever happen. I've been saying that a whole lot more in the last few years than I've ever said it. This country, this earth, without Jesus, is headed straight to hell. That's what Satan wants. He wants to kill every single human being he can. He wants to trip up every born-again believer he can. He wants to deceive every person he can. But I'm here to tell you today, through the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to be deceived anymore. Through his resurrection, you can have power and authority to live in this life and the life hereafter. But only through him. John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man, that's powerful. But we have another problem. Mankind wants the blessing, but doesn't want to do what's required of the blessing. Now, another thing happened when Jesus became resurrected, when he was resurrected, and he is now resurrected, and he's alive. Every single born-again Christian, Brother Scott has been preaching about it, when you become born again, and you know that you're born again, and Satan knows he can't take it away from you, he screams in hate and anger because he knows you're covered by the blood that was shed on the cross that I'm talking about, that nothing can break. And when you know that and believe that, that change inside of you is a resurrection. The old man died. The new person is now alive, eagerly seeking, wanting to be with the Lord. That's the reason 99% of the time when a person says they're saved and born again, people see a change in them. There was a resurrection happened inside of them, in their spirit. I praise God for it, because without it, I've seen some of the bad things mankind can do, has done, will do. I hate to say it, even whenever I used to drive over the road all over the country, everybody knows, at least used to, truckers used the CB a lot. It's different things. In my young days, it was to find out where the bears, the police were at, and to talk to each other and communicate about traffic. I have sat in a truck stop before. And God, I wasn't even born again, but I knew in my heart, you know, this ain't right, and it just broke my heart. I've heard grown-ups trying to farm out their teenage daughters and prostitute them over to CB. And I'm not talking, when I say teenage, I'm talking about underage. That's the kind of depravity that Satan is trying to deceive and put into mankind. And there ain't but one power that'll stand against it. And that's the blood-bought resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of man. When Jesus said, "It is finished," and he died, it says he gave up his spirit, he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life as he said he could do in the scriptures. Then on the third day, the power that raised him up from the grave and resurrected him. In his resurrection, it cried out, "Death and the grave has no more power over him." Now, used to, it kind of was a mystery to me, how come death and the grave had so much power? Because I've heard Christians talking about, Jesus died and death and the grave has no more power and dominion of sin in your life. I've been around a few people the moment they died. Not a lot, a few. I held one man's hand. It was a good man, but I don't know if he's born again or not. When he took his last breath, a man I knew pretty well, he wasn't kin to me, he fought. He literally fought, kicking. He couldn't talk. Swinging, jumping around. I look back now and I now think in my heart, I hope he was born again, because all of those things are signs of someone who is afraid. People live their lives in this world. And our lives is a short thing. If we live the 120 years God give us, that's a short thing. But people live their lives in this world, most of them never reach 100. Most people don't. A lot of people never reach 70 or my age. But they live their lives. And when that time comes, when death comes, even though people that are not born again say that they're not afraid, deep down in here, they're afraid. You know why they're afraid? Because they're going to a place they don't know anything about. Nothing. I want everybody to think, have you ever been somewhere, this is a common thing because I've seen it in a lot of people. How many people here like driving Birmingham? And our number one reason is probably going to be traffic. What's the number two reason? Somebody just give me your reason. I'd like to hear it. Exactly. Now, what happens if you don't know where you're going and you end up in a place that's not good for you? I used to be. I'm not scared of driving Birmingham. I've driven enough. I know to stay away from bad spots. I absolutely have to. But I know where the bad places are. I don't have any fear over that anymore. That's how the born-again Christian is, because of Jesus' resurrection. If you're born again and death scares you, you better get on your knees and talk to God, because you're going to a place, if you're born again, there is no fear over death, hell, and the grave. Death is simply a door, and the grave is simply a place where this tabernacle, this body, is going to meet its end, because it met its beginning in this earth, and it's going to go back to the earth. Your spirit, the you know who you are part of you, is going either to be with the Lord or going to that place everybody fears. I'm not afraid to say it. It's hell. It's torment. Jesus said it. That's the reason that death and hell and the grave has power over the lost. Because they don't know about the resurrection. Why don't they know about it? They don't have it. I have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in here. Man, I ain't scared to die. I don't want to die yet. I want to die when the Lord says it's my turn to go, because I got a beautiful wife, kids, and a brand new grandbaby I really love. I want to spend all the time. I want to teach her about Jesus. I have a nearly grown granddaughter I didn't get to spend around a lot of time around because of circumstances. And I regret that, but I've got one now. And boys, I'm telling y'all, when y'all grow up and have kids, I'm going to do the same thing with them. I'm going to ask y'all to stay close. I'm going to bring them to church. Faithway Christian Center is still here. I'm going to be here. They're going to be here. If you won't come, I'm going to come to your house and ask you if I can get them. I'm just being honest. Why is that? I love them. Not just my grandkids, I love my kids. That's the reason I've had them in church. It ain't because I'm doing something the Lord requires, and I got to, oh man, I got to do this. God said, I got to do this. I better do it. No, I do it because I love them, and I don't want them to have the fear of the power of the death and grave and hell, that fear. I don't want them to have it. I want them to have the resurrection power inside them that Jesus died for. Because I can only imagine what it must be like. Well, I don't have to imagine. I had that fear before I become born again. Churches I was raised in, there was a whole lot of preaching about hell. I heard it. I remembered it. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm a kid. I'm saved. I ain't going to hell. Well, as I got away from church and the people that taught that, in my older part of my life, I couldn't say that no more. You know why? Because I didn't know. If you don't know whether or not you're born again and have the resurrection power of Jesus in your life, I'm going to say it again, you better get with the Lord. I don't care if you go to church every day, every week, whatever. If you don't have that, going to church is not going to help you. Now, going to church is the place to get that. I will tell you that. I don't say how a person can go to church, but I'm going to tell you, I've been in services before where pastors' wives and pastors' kids been going to church for years and wasn't born again. But, I mean, I understand it. Things happen. So I'm just telling you. That's my number one thing, number two thing in my life. Number one is to serve the Lord with all my heart and body and soul and spirit. And number one is to tell everybody I can, after that, is tell everybody I can about Jesus. Because without Jesus, we don't have none of this. No hope. It says in Romans 6:3, I'm going to start reading in 6:3. Beth, if you want to put it up there, you don't have to, but if you want to, it's Romans 6, chapter 6, 3 through 10. I'd really like for everybody to say it. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that. I was running a little late this morning. But if you got your Bibles, turn over there this morning. It doesn't matter. I'll read it out of the Amplified out of my Bible. If it's King James, that's fine. King James says it pretty good anyway. Romans 6, 3 through 10. I want everybody to pay attention to this, please. I have read Scripture over and over and over in my life that done me absolutely no good. You know why? I didn't use it. Number one, most of the time, in them times that I did it, I wasn't born again. Number two, even after I've been born again and coming here, I didn't have my spiritual ears open. I found out here how to do that. I come to every service now and I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to have my spiritual ears open. I've got a willing heart, Lord. I'm open. Help me. There's barely a service goes by here that the Lord doesn't give me something out of either what was being said, taught, preached here on that very subject, or one to it, or a revelation. But we read here, it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now, I want you to notice that word baptized. That means we were tied together. We were baptized into his death. Verse 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. What happened whenever Jesus was resurrected, come out of the tomb? He had newness of life. What I mean by that, Jesus himself changed back into him his glory, but now he, since we are baptized with him into his death, meaning that we can take part in what he paid for by his death, and we can come out with the same newness of life and the power and authority that he's going to be giving us, that we've been taught here, that's in his word and his truth. says in also in verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," and we have, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, I know. Monty knows for Monty. I want each and every person that can hear me and see me, you got to know for yourself. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When you're born again, folks, your body's going to be destroyed because it's sinful. It's of this world. It's still made of this world. When you're born again, God doesn't want you using your body to sin against him or yourself. That means don't get in the flesh and don't commit things that you shouldn't be doing, because Jesus died to pay that price, and we're going to go do them again? God forbid. That's where the comes in, where it says crucified again, Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about. If you go out and do things when you become born again that you did before, and I'm not talking about immediately, it might be a long time, you are crucifying Jesus again and dishonoring him. That's where it comes in. It says once you are born again, Jesus died for your sins once and for all. He doesn't have to die for them again. And he is just to forgive us our sins if we do something wrong after we're born again. But we are to strive. Strive means all but fight, not to do anything illegal against God in this body, to sin. And trust me, I know it's not easy sometimes. People will make you mad. Born again people will make you mad. Church people will make you mad. Family will make you mad. And that's just one avenue. I've told people time and time again, I have been hooked on alcohol. I've been hooked on various drugs in my life. I ain't proud of it. One of the hardest drugs I had to give up was using crystal meth with a needle. Alcohol, smoking drugs, snorting drugs, all that kind of junk. Hurting my body, hurting my God that gave me the body to live in this world. Whether I'm born again or not, he gave it to me. And I'm destroying it. And I've been smoking. Oh, no, I take it back. I had been smoking up to 3 years ago, since I was 14 years old, destroying my body. When I got born again, I still wanted to smoke. I'm not going to lie to anybody. And I'm not condemning anybody. This is about me. This is about Monty. Whatever's going on with a person in their life is between them and the Lord, and I am no judge of anybody. The only thing I can say is that I can see the fruit that does or does not bear. But I'm talking about me. The hardest thing I ever had to do was to quit smoking cigarettes. I've testified about it before, and I'm not going to go into that story because, like I said, it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. I got born again here, and I'm still smoking cigarettes. I'd been taught that it's not good to smoke cigarettes. I mean, even if you're not born again, if you don't want to, you know, if you want to cut 15, 20 years off your life or more, you know, smoke. Because the effects of it's going to take over. You're more than likely going to get cancer. And if you don't get cancer, it cuts your lung life down. That's just a fact. But I'm born again. Not only is it hurting my carnal, natural body, it's hurting my spiritual relationship with my Lord and my Savior. Whenever you're involved in sin or something that, I'm going to just put it this way, disconnects you from God because he says it's wrong, it's not good for you. It's not good when you're born again. Now, God's not going to forsake us. He didn't forsake me. But God dealt with me and dealt with me. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop. I need help. Boom. I didn't want to smoke no more. Then what did I do? I started smoking again. God did not make me stop smoking. I asked for help. He gave it to me. part of the resurrection power and authority we have in our lives through Jesus. Then I once again got caught back up in it and asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I really don't want to do this, even though I'm doing it. And in my heart, I did. But boy, you know, after I eat, you know, take a break while working on something, you know, Lord. And the Lord told me real quick, says, you know, he said, I won't leave you nor forsake you, but I've delivered you already. So what am I doing? I'm walking around with, born again, with this resurrected life, Holy Spirit indwelled in me, and I'm doing something God told me not to do. I'm just going to put it that way. And if God tells you not to do it, don't do it. I don't care what it is, how small or big. So now, when I ask God for help, he said, you're going to have to use some of your own help now. Just to paraphrase what I felt. So I said, you know, I felt, I said, Lord, does that mean you're not going to help me? And I heard one word, willpower. What's that all about, Lord? And that's all I'd ever hear was willpower. Well, to make a long story short, because I ain't got much time, I didn't have to use the willpower to start with. God come in because he knew my heart. I didn't want to do that. I made the choice. He knew my heart. If God knew in my heart, and I'm sure he knew what I was going to do, but if he knew in my heart that I didn't mean what I said, he wouldn't have delivered me. And I'm sure he knew that I was could very well and did go back and pick it up again. But he delivered me. If God has to deliver me again, what happened to the first deliverance? Where'd it go? Is it null and void? No. God didn't have to deliver me the second time because he delivered me, period. Monty went and messed it up with his flesh and his carnal nature and his hard-headedness and his pride and anything else you want to put in it. So the reason I brought that up, that was the hardest thing I had to do. And then the Lord showed me, even with the resurrected power of Jesus, we still have a fight to fight, a battle to fight against the flesh. As Sister Teresa and Brother Scotty teaches us, the devil don't make us do everything. Sometimes we choose to do the things that's not good for us. We choose to do the things that's actually sin. But in the corner phrase for mankind, the heat of the moment, we don't think about it or we don't care, whatever. I don't know. In the heat of my moment, I don't remember what I was thinking. It wasn't, you know, what I should have done is that I'm delivered from this and run from it. Just like Joseph run from the wife in the Old Testament, but I didn't do it. Now, going on to verse 7, it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. That's a short verse, but it's powerful. Even the lost people, when they're dead, are freed from sin. They don't sin no more because they're judged. And then they pay the price for their decisions in life and their sinfulness. Therefore, they're dead to sin. But the born-again man can live this life dead to sin. So what that means is we're dead to sin, but we're still alive in this body. Because it says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So we're dead to sin, but we're still alive in this body. But we're going to live with him after we come out of this body. Knowing that Christ, verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And neither will it have us. Even death in this body. And the spiritual death will not have dominion over us because Christ broke the dominion of sin and the curse of sin in a born-again believer. And Romans 6:10 says, and for that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, let's go to I want you to notice that verse said, that he that liveth, liveth unto God. The word liveth. Beth, one more scripture. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. King James is fine. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. I need to go over here too. The resurrection of Christ is not only that he liveth, but he give us a hope. You hear people minister and talk about in the church about hope. I want to read this to you. It says, "Blessed be the God of Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Did you hear that? Reserved in heaven for you. If you're born again, this is part of the stuff that you're going to get. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation." I'm sorry, it's verse 4. Verse 3 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ not only give us, as he said, life and life more abundantly, it give us a lively hope while we're living. Lively means alive and eagerly happy. To an inheritance. Man, an inheritance. That means it's laid up for us. It's already there. We're joint heirs with Christ through Jesus Christ. I mean with Christ to the Father through Jesus. It's already there. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible. That may be a big-looking word, but that is a giant, humongous word to a born-again Christian. Everything of this world is corruptible and would decay and die. Everything in the spiritual world that God, especially what God gives us, is good, is incorruptible and does not die. You know why? Because Jesus resurrected, raised from the dead, and he dieth no more. He gave us that. We won't be scared of death to shed this body. But we dieth no more. And we have something to look forward to. That if the resurrection message was the only message, I'll say it again, that Christianity had, it would be enough. But we have so much more, and I don't have time to get into it. Through his ascension, the power and authority. He said in Matthew 28, "The Father has given me all power in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into the world, preach the gospel, and whatsoever things I have told you." He give us that authority. It says in John, as many are led by the Spirit, he gave power to become the sons of God. All of this comes through the resurrection. And I don't know about y'all, but it sure does feel good. Now, I don't rejoice in the fact that Jesus had to suffer. I realize and feel the love he had for me. I don't like it that he had to suffer. But he did. And I'm glad that he did for one reason. I thank God for it. Because without his suffering and his death, there'd be no burial. Without the burial, there'd be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there would be no life, no power, no authority, no redemption. We would forever be cursed. Our relationship with God severed, as it was in the Garden of Eden. Now, God is a good God, and he always will be. But could you imagine living life And all you had was what you have here. Ever how good it was. No matter how good a person's life is, there's bad in it. Sometimes some people might not have very much bad. Some other people may have a lot of bad. But could you imagine living this life and all you've got to hope for is what you've had so far, and you can't see nothing happening good in the future? You look around this world and all this stuff going on. You know, there ain't a lot of good stuff happening in the world outside of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's all I got this morning.